How's that?
Awesome. That is good. Ooh, a good-looking Bible. Nice. Back up. All right. Thank you guys so much for having us this morning. Jeremy, brother, I appreciate you.
I want to see your face.
Oh, that's nice. And I shaved this morning. That's good. That's real good. Thank you, Mr. Ed. You're kind. Nice. And there's a clock, so you will be out before in the morning. This is wonderful. This is, amen. Listen at that. Okay, awesome, awesome. Praise God. Thank you guys so much for having us. Some of you guys, Pastor Jeremy was saying, I know your faces, seen you around the community. I don't know if most of you know my wife, Sue. Yes. You would rather see her face than mine, and I just saying, but that's quite all right. So, Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness. Mm-hmm. Lord, touch our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts that we may understand what you're saying to the church this morning. Lord, you said if we commit our works to you, Lord, our plans, purposes, thoughts will be established. So we trust you with that today, God. We trust you with our life. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you for being patient with me. I was not running away back there. I was following orders of the sound man. I was trying anyway, but I think I kind of messed that up. When was the last time God has asked you to do something to make you feel uncomfortable? Don't have to raise any hands. I'm just saying. I know there was one in the room, at least. There's more, but I understand. We'd like to keep that preserved just in case he do it again. I don't want to commit too soon. Like Jeremy was saying, the Lord has so graciously allowed us to do mission work in the Philippines, so we've done that for a few years and some other places, and that's coming up. And it's one of those places where some of the authorities would tell Westerners not to go. You know, it's one of the smaller islands because of some of the stuff that happens there. But God is so gracious and to allow them to see. And I've seen some of the most beautiful places on earth and places that was most hostile. Actually, I have a picture on my tablet here. It's the background. It's a beautiful terrain. But it's one of those places, if you're going to take a picture, you better stop, take it, and move on. Because you got to get out of that part of the country real fast because they love you so much there. How many of you guys are familiar with the book called Through the Gates of Splendor? These missionaries in the room, you've probably read this book. We were required to read this, Sue and I, in Bible school. This is a book that we were required to read. And for whatever reason, as I was just, thinking and meditating on this particular, the message today, this thought came back to my mind. And really because of the faithfulness that was shown there. There's a movie out there as well, The End of the Spear, that kind of gives you a portion of this book, kind of explained the narrative on out. But this is talking about some missionaries who, on their heart, they knew we were going into Ecuador and we were going to reach a certain group of people, the Aka tribe. They went out there, there's five families. The husbands, they went out one day, they knew the dangers, they knew the things that was capable of happening, but they believed God, that they were going to reach these people. And so they go there, and time passed, and eventually the wives get word that their husbands had been speared to death by the natives in a meeting that it started off being kind of friendly, but something went wrong. Something happened, and so they ended up
perishing at the hands of those natives there. And you're like, well, wow, that encourages you? In a weird kind of a way. So the families, the wives, they leave. They go back to the U.S. But 2 years later, Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of one of the missionaries, Jim Elliot, she returns back to Ecuador, back to that tribe, having relationships there. And so she was able to live among them and begin to teach them. But this is the part that gets me about this story. She didn't go back with vengeance or violence in her heart. She went back with the faith of God and forgiveness. Man. She went back teaching them. And there's one picture that I saw where she's standing before some of the tribal people and her little girl was wrapped around her leg and she's teaching them. And she spent this time and she became an advocate for their education. And this was around 1956, I believe it's when they died. 58 is when she returned back. When she did this, it paved the way for a translation of the New Testament to be made in their language. And it was released about 1992. And so I see this, and I ask the questions. When was the last time God, Kedrick? Let's just talk to Kedrick today because I know him better than I know you, bub. I see you and I know you. I've heard of you, you know, and I've seen you around, but I really don't know you as well as I know myself. And I know what I'm going to try to tell God I'm not going to do, and I know what he's going to laugh at. Those sorts of things. I've lived in a few places that I told God that I wasn't going to go, and he was like, yeah, okay, cool. Pack up your bags. You're on your way out. Just so you know, God asks you to do something, you probably don't go. It's like I tell people, you ever find yourself in a fight with God and you find yourself winning? That's not a good day. That is not a good day. And so I'm looking at this thing. Sometimes there are calls in our lives that defies the logic of man. Sometimes there are things that God may ask of me, Mark, they may ask of you, that even your friends would go, this is crazy. And you go like, I know, but I don't know why, but I just keep finding myself going there. I kid you not, when I'm traveling back and forth to the Philippines and I'm getting ready, you know, to beep, or I'm sitting in a terminal and people, where are you going? Well, I'm going to the Philippines. Or maybe I'm in Manila at the time. Where are you going? Well, I'm going to the island of Mindanao. And they look at me and go like, why? Why are you going there? Do you hear bombs? Do you hear anything? Well, actually, no. Are you scared? No, not until you told me I should be. No. Well, what? I don't know why. But this is one thing that I've learned by following God. There are times. No, let me back up. God trusts his people oftentimes more than we trust him. God will say crazy stuff like, I will send you out as sheep among wolves. Like, well, that's kind of crazy talk. Yeah, I know, but I trust you. I trust that you will hear my voice and you will not follow a stranger. I trust you. Come on, you might have to tell yourself, God, trust me. Yeah. I may not see it. I may not understand it, but God, trust me. Not because of me. Let's not get it twisted. Not because of me, but because he trusts the spirit that he's put in me. The spirit that produces patience, love, kindness. That spirit. Yeah. Come on. But sometimes the call that you and I will experience or feel like he's asking us to, it doesn't always make sense. It defies the logic of mankind. That's the best place I can be. It's leaning on him, trusting him, believing him. When everyone else walks away. Okay. Remember one of David's mighty men, Shammah? I don't know if you remember this story. There was this little bean patch that everybody else said, well, I'm out of here. I'm gone. But he stood there with his sword. I will fight for this patch. So my question today is, what are you fighting for? What's worth to you to stand for? when everyone else leaves you by yourself. Come on. This is the God that we serve. He's not scared of my frailties. He's not scared of your sin. He wants you to bring them to him. We're not going to go down that trail. This is not about that. But he wants you to bring them to him. It is what it is. He's like, deal with it. We can move on. Yeah. We can move on. He's not scared. So I want to read something. It's a challenge that Jesus put out there to all of us, right? I love this. And they read this scripture earlier in Luke chapter 6 in verse 35. It's one of those things when you said, when was the last time God made you feel uncomfortable, Keetrick? Well, the last time I read this one. No, he will say stuff like, love your enemy. Now, let's talk about this. Not the person who didn't like your Facebook request. That's not the kind of enemy. We're going a little deeper than that. I'm talking about the type of people who had no well or good meaning towards you. Actually, one of the phrases and thoughts there is active hostility. Active hostility. So today I want to talk about active Christianity. Okay? Because we have, there is an active hostile realm that is out there that is working and has no good intentions for you and I. And sometimes it shows itself in flesh form, that people that you work with, people that you live with in their neighborhoods, people that just cut you off at the red light and gave you the great California howdy-do. You know, it's those kind of people. We're like, I can't stand this place. That state over there, I can't stand them. That state over there. And Jesus is like, that's awesome. Now I want you to love them. I want you to love them. Well, now you're getting in my business, Jesus. That's right. That's right. That's right. You're making me uncomfortable. That's right. That's right. That's right. Because I want you to become the light that I know you are. But remember, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you with all of my spirit in you. I trust that my spirit will produce in you patience. You know, when we hear that word, it's like, well, don't pray for patience because you know bad things happen. Well, this is a gift from God. God, help me and embrace your gift. Help me, God. So, Keetrick, when was the last time Jesus made you feel uncomfortable? Well, love your enemy. Do good to them. Lend without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly, I love this part, then you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. Lord, I want to be more like you. Awesome. None of you have ever said that. I know. You've never posted that. I just want to be more like Jesus. What? Okay, great. Love your enemy. Give to... I think he gets a kick out of making me uncomfortable. Yeah. I think he gets joy out of watching me grow. I think he gets joy out of tilling the soil that I've allowed to allow weeds to grow up around me, and it looks like, you know, the Sanford and Son's front yard or something like that. And he just wanna come along and he wanna make it look, you know, clean and plush. He wanted to look like his kingdom. And in his kingdom there is no darkness at all. So he's like, hey, let's pull up these weeds. Let's get this stuff out. Let's plant some new seed. He gets a kick out of me growing. And so he said, love your enemy. Okay. But that part there where it says, you will truly be acting. This is in the New Living Translation. Acting. Active Christianity. Because we know there's active hostility and there's out there. But in order to deal with it, we have to act like the one who called us. Y'all are fun. Okay. Y'all are fun. I'm really enjoying myself already. Moving right along. This is is one of the things that sometimes I will hear, you will hear, and maybe you will say. That's right. The Lord said, pray for your enemy. He didn't say, pray for my enemy. He said, love my enemy. This is what prayer would sound like for me and my enemy. Get him, God. Get him. Just. Can you imagine Elizabeth Elliot going back into Ecuador with that tribe? Can you imagine her stepping there and the same people who took the life of her husband and her missionary friends, and she's going to step in there and say, okay, I'm back. Now get them, God. It's not quite how it went. She gave herself. I believe her husband was quoted something like, until you find something worth dying for, you haven't found anything worth living for. If I'm going to actively be walking and representing my King on earth, I can't allow the reactions of the world dictate my response to them. My reactions or my response to the world that I have been privileged to live in cannot be dictated by the actions of those who possibly, not everybody, possibly have hostile intent towards me. I mean, if you back on up a little bit in verse 32 and verse 33, Jesus would say something like, if you only love those who love you, then, you know, I think sinners do that too. What credit do you have? If you only give to those who you expect something in return, well, only sinners do that too. So there's no credit in that either. He's like, let's do something different. Isn't that something? Isn't that something he called up to do something different? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Kietrick, what are you going to do? Well, oh, Lord, I think I'm going to try to do something different. How am I going to do that? Well, trust me. I trust you. Right? And so he's speaking to his disciples. He's encouraging them to grow. he's encouraging them to step up and do something different. So what is it? Let's talk about this for a moment. How does Jesus deal with his hostile foes? And the reason I say this is because I believe that you and I can pull something from his actions that can help you and I to walk victoriously in the world that we live in, not catering to the activity, but also don't find myself feeling weak and I've got to give in to it, but yet walk, if you would, confidently in the God that we serve, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is the kind of world, this is the kind of people that God is calling us to be, that we will be the light of the world. I do have an app on my phone that if I push it, it will say amen. That was a real good spot right there. I do. Don't I, honey? I have it there. I'm not begging for amen. I know. Yes, you're okay. No, you wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't mean it. Yeah, no. But just saying. I do. I'll show it to you later. I have it on there. It even got a little southern drawl to it. I don't know. They must have made that out in Cranford's Gap, Texas. But got a little southern drawl to it. So but here's the deal. How did Jesus deal with the hostile environment that he was in when he had those that were his enemies working against him? I believe there is something that we can learn from him that's going to empower me to walk victoriously in Bastrop County and abroad. Yeah. I believe so. Side note, sorry. I just thought there's times when I've been in the Philippines because where it is, it's been now, right? ISIS came in one time and they seized this one city. It was about an hour or so up the road from us. And so we were under martial law for a while, for a couple of times I would go back. And so you would drive up to this checkpoint and you would see this big sign and it would have local terrorists written at the top, right? And they have these pictures of these different people. And I told one guy, I said, we were checking into a hotel. I said, well, I hope this guy's not behind that counter. You know, what would I do? Would I love him or go like, get him, God? You know, what? How are we going to deal with this? So let's look at this real quick. In John chapter 13. In John chapter 13 and from 1 through 5, but let's start at verse 2. We'll just cut the fat and we'll just get straight to the meat and to the heart of things. And starting at verse 2, and we'll read down through verse 5, and it says, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now check this out. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which he had girded himself. And if you know the rest of the story, this is where Peter got to a place like, oh, no, you're not going to wash my feet. You know why? Because Peter understood what was happening. This was a posture of a servant. This is someone, you know, this is a lowly state. This is, yeah, my Lord is not going to do that. He's a above this, right? But I'm reading this, and it just kind of hit me. Now, again, if I'm looking at this from the lens of Kietrich, okay, Mark, just looking at it through my lens, I have to ask myself, what would I do in this situation? I know that guy sitting right over there. This brother in the same boat right here. This guy sitting over here has bad intentions. I know it. The devil has entered into his heart. I know what's going on. I know what's happening here. But yet, he gets up and he goes and washes the feet of Judas along with the other disciples. There's a few things that get me here is, I can't allow my Judases to trip me up from fulfilling my purposes. Amen. Jesus wasn't tripping over what Judas was throwing at him. And we'll see why. Sometimes I trip up, I miss out, and I miss my plane because I'm too busy about this guy over here with the bad attitude. I miss his call because I'm too concerned about the relationship that I feel like that didn't work. I miss my appointed assignment because I'm not going to talk about church. I've been part of church for a long time. I know us. I'm part of us. So, yeah, I feel like I can talk about us. Sometimes I get mad at my church family and just want to leave God. And the bottom line, it wasn't God's fault to begin with. What did God do to me? It wasn't God's fault. It was one of his children who needed him. Whoa. So Jesus, at the table with this guy who's put in his heart to betray him, gets up and serve him. Here's a challenge for me. Here's a challenge for us. Here's a challenge for the church. Can you serve those who don't like you? Whoa. Can you serve the old? Okay, let's just go a little deeper. Can you love those who don't like you? Can you love those who actively have hostility towards you? And the answer is, here it is, newsflash, yes, you can, because Jesus trusts you. He trusts you. He said, go amongst the wolves. I got you. I got your six. Don't you worry. I got you, buddy. You're good. Judas at the table. Judas in his heart, he has determined this is what's going to happen. Jesus is like, cool, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve. He gets up. He washes their feet. And the question is, how do I do this? Lord, this is where it gets uncomfortable. I've been a follower of Jesus because now you want me to act like you. This is where it gets uncomfortable, trying to follow you. This is why he had people say, are you the one or should we look for another? This is why it was like, eat your flesh and drink your blood. And the crowd went, poof. And he looked at the disciples, like, well, are you going to leave too? But at that point, they had enough. They go, well, you have the words of life. Where are we going to go? Good answer. Good answer. Jesus, this is why sometimes it's hard to follow you, because you want me to be like you. Yes, right. Remember, if they hated me, they will hate you too. There's no difference. There's no difference. And so what did Jesus do? Let's look at this real quick, okay? Let's look at what, and I'm not saying, this is not the end all answers, but this is just what this particular scripture spoke to me. How I, we're talking about Kedrick, remember, I know this guy, okay? How I can be victorious and walking in times of hostility. When things look crazy, act crazy, smell crazy. Wow. And this is what it said. Number one, Jesus knew his authority. You're like, really? That's it? Yeah. Yeah. I know that sounds very Sunday schoolish. I get it. I know. But sometimes the answer is right in front of my nose, and because it's so simple, I'm like, well, there's got to be another one. That can't be it. There's got to be something. God, you got to be more deep than that. Well, no, that's the reason you miss it sometimes, Keetra, because you're looking for something deep, and I got it right here in front of you. He knew his authority that he walked in. And this is what the scripture says here, right? Check this out. It says back there in John 13:3, it says, Jesus, right? This is after the devil had entered into Judas's heart. It says, and Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. All things. See, here's the deal. If you are daddy in the house, or if you are mama in the house, sorry, children, if you walk in the house and you know it's time to get up to go to school, and the child is still in bed, you walk in the room and you tell them to get up, right? Like a loving parent would do. And they will look at you like, I don't want to, and pull the cover back over their head. And you turn around and walk out and say, okay, 5 more minutes. That was not a trick question. But if you are the parent, the one is an authority in that place, there's no discussing this. This answer is already written. You do not get the vote. This is not, yes, let's see who's all for me. No. This has one answer, and it is, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Okay, I just showed I'm from old school. I'm from old school East Texas, Pinewood, USA. I've been whipped with some pine limbs, okay. Is this being recorded? I'm so sorry. This is just the way it is. I forgive them. I've been delivered, so anyway. But when you are in authority, when you have the responsibility and in authority over something, I'm not questioning what those who are not in authority doing and what they're saying. I've got to know who I am. I got to know this. And this is what, here in 1 John, I love this, verse 4, it says, you are God's little children and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Jesus knew who he was. He knew that the authority of heaven was in his hands. You and I know when we're dealing with hostile environments, I don't have to walk in like sheep without a purpose. We look at sheep like, just a dusty, rusty little sheep just waiting to die. No, not Jesus' sheep.
Jesus' sheep is battle-hardened, ready to get forward and go after. They are moving forward and say, yes, they're the wolves, Daddy. Let's go. Let's go. Jesus' sheep has spent time with him, and they're ready to storm the gates of hell with the water pistol and say, come on, let's go. Because of his authority and the power of heaven, not only the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of me. So why am I going to trip over what Judas is trying to trip me up with? I have a purpose. I have a call. So let's get to it, right? That's what I'm talking about right there. So one of the first things, all right, let's go. First things that you and I, as we're going to be like Jesus, put your head this way. We're going to be like Jesus, right? One of the things that Jesus did, he knew without a doubt that all things the Father had put into his hands. So I'm not going to miss my boat because of what one crazy guy is trying to do to me. Come on. Don't let those that disagree with you cause you to disagree with your purpose. Come on. Just because they don't know you don't mean that you don't know you. Oh, or do we? Come on now. Do you know you? Okay. I'll leave that message to you, Mr. Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy. We're going to move on down the road. We have a time frame to go. All right. Number two, the second thing that Jesus did in this moment that you and I can grab a hold of and walk victoriously as active Christians in an active, hostile place is that he knew his identity. Sounds very familiar or similar. Not only did he know his authority, but he knew his identity. Back to that other questions. Do you know who you are? If someone changed a picture in your living room and put another person next to your children, would you be able to pick it out and say, that's not me? Or is it? I don't get. No, it's not. You're daddy. You're mama. You're the one that God has called to walk responsibly in that position that you're in. That assignment that you know that God gave you 10 years ago, he hadn't changed his mind. I'm pausing for effect, not for an amen. Because sometimes, because it hadn't showed up, we think God has forgotten about us. We think that I'm not who I thought I was. And we step away and we stop following him. God called me to be here. And when I didn't see it at the right time, I questioned, did he really call me to be here? But go back and ask again. Remember your first love. Go back. Jesus knew. He knew that all things, that the Father had put all things in his hands. Number two, he knew that he had come from God. We get our identity from the household and from the family, the familiar that we are raised in. This is how, you know, it's just the culture that I'm a part of. It has nothing to do with the color of my skin, but the people that I'm raised with, the people that I'm around. Who am I, God? You're my child. Come on. You're a child of the Most High. For those who believe, he gave them the right to be called children of God. And one place he said, you were once in darkness, but now you're children of light. Walk as children of light. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Walk as children of light. You were darkness. You were. Past tense. That's not your identity anymore. That's not who we are anymore. But now we are children of light. Therefore, he says, walk as children of light. Oh, this is, I hope y'all enjoying this like I'm just. Get out of here. Don't be mad, really. You just can't make this stuff up, Mark. You just can't. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. To walk as children of light. Wow. Jesus would go on and he'd start telling his disciples, you're salt of the earth. You're flavorful. If
you feel like you're living in a bland world, add some salt. Again, like I said, I'm from Northeast Texas, Piney Woods, USA. Baby, I was raised on collard greens and pinto, but we know what flavor looks like. We know what flavor tastes like. I've been sitting at the dinner table. Mama's got some greens there. I'm eating with my hands, by the way. We were raised. This is the first utensils. Yes, sir. I know it's kind of hard to believe. I know. No, it's just hang around. You'll get it. The accent will start coming back. And sitting at the table, and Mama go like, we don't have any onions for these greens. Go out there in the garden and pull somebody. Yes, ma'am. And it was right there, right there. We know what flavor was like. Guess what? Jesus know what flavor looks like, too, and it's you. You are the salt, the flavor, the healing mechanism. Salt brings healing into the land. It preserves things. Did you not know that back in their day, salt gave the travelers the ability to go even farther because it could preserve the food that they were traveling with? Before, you were limited to Bastrop, but now that salt is in it, we can go to Pflugerville. I don't know, but salt gives us the ability to go farther than where we've ever could go before. So he said, come on, people, take your city, take your nation farther than they've ever dreamed about. You are the prayers answered of your forefathers, that what they did. Come on. Come on. We are answered prayers.
Yeah, we are.
This is awesome. Not because I'm saying, I'm just getting the revelation. This is cool. All right, number three. We're going to walk on through this, right? The third thing. Okay, number one. Jesus knew his authority. He wasn't allowing Judas to trip him up. Therefore, he could wash his feet. Think about this. Because I know my authority and I know who I am, I can serve you even when you don't like me. Why? Your thoughts towards me don't matter. Yep. And not being arrogant, but this is about me. This is a Kietrich heart issue here, right? Okay? Not his saying it's all about me, but it is about me. Kietrich, remember, what they say and what they do, it doesn't matter. I've shared this with many people before. It's not about what people call you. It's what you answer to that counts. It's what you answer to. It's what you subscribe to. It's what... Never mind. We're just going to leave that alone. I'll leave that for you, Pastor Jeremy. We're going to move right on. Number three. The third thing and the final one that Jesus operated in, that I believe that you and I can actively walk in so we can walk victoriously in active, hostile environments, is that he was assured. He had been assured, he was sure of his future. That's a question. God, am I missing it? God, what? I know you told me this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but what's my purpose again? I'm not saying I don't ask God these things, but when I start questioning God's call and purpose for my life, emotionally I hit a pause button. And I sit, pause, sitting on the side of my bed, watching life pass me by, waiting for someone else to give me permission to do what God has called me to do. The light has been green, and there's horns behind me. And I'm sitting there. I'm daydreaming about what others have said, what others are doing. The horns are blowing. It's getting louder. It's getting louder. And someone needs to walk up to my window and say, hey, Kietrich. He said, go. He said, go. How do I know when to go? Yeah, like now. Until there's a red light. Jesus knew his future. He said, he knew that the Father had given all authority, had given all things into his hand. He knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he was going where he was going, to God. Remember that wonderful scripture that we read in Jeremiah 29 and 11? Thought source, you are good, not evil. Just so you know, God is thinking about you. He's thinking about you. Right where you are, he's thinking about you. My thoughts towards you are good, not evil. To give you a future, right, and a hope. The thing that I really love about this, I didn't notice at first, but when I went back and read the whole thing, he's not talking to people who were sitting in a very good place. He's talking to people who are in bondage. He's talking to people who's questioning their future. He's talking to people who've been told, hey, it's only going to be 2 years. Don't even unpack your bags. Chill out. It'll all go away. And then someone come along and say, well, they've been prophesying to you. This is not how this is going to play out. Yeah, they've been prophesying. Sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll prophesy to myself. And I have to get back on track with God. I said, no, I didn't say that about you. And he tells them, you have a future. I have a future for you. I'm thinking about your future, even while they are in bondage. When people had them was holding them captive who did not have good intentions for them, had robbed them of their heritage, had robbed them of the things that they were familiar with, and put them into a place. And the Lord tells them, this is what I want you to do. Even when there is hostile things around you, I want you to plant gardens. I want you to build homes. I want you to get married. I want you to have children. In other words, even when things are rough, I want you to live. Don't stop living. If you stop living, you start dying. Don't stop living, even when things are not looking the way you want it to look. What am I going to do? Find Jesus. Get in step with him and watch him work in your life. Three things. He knew his authority, he knew his identity, and he knew that his future was secure in God. Why? Because I'm not going to allow the hostile foes to keep me from serving and walking out my purpose that he's given me. Amen. Active, yes. There's active hostility all around us. The question is, will I be an active Christian in the midst? Whatever that looks like for you, that's for you and Jesus to get on board and say, hey, let's go. Talk to me. Talk to your boy. Talk to your boy. I need a little encouragement. I need to hear you. Daddy, I need to hear from you. Daddy, I need to hear from you. You do the work in my life. Father, as we sit here today, you know the lives of those that are here in this room. You know the things that they're walking through, the things that they've experienced. Lord, you know the wrestlings that are taking place. Lord, I want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you that you trust us. You trust us with your kingdom to carry out your purposes in the land. So I thank you, Lord. Bless this house, Lord. Every family that is represented here. Thank you, Lord, for the leaders here. Lord, as they walk out the steps, the purpose that you've called them to, Lord, we just declare today, Lord, that it will come to pass. It will come to pass as they continue to follow you, Lord. So I bless them today. I bless them today. May their light shine. May their light shine bright in this city. In Jesus' name, amen.